Welcome, and thank you for streaming this sermon. At Heritage Baptist Church, we believe that the Word of God and the Gospel of Jesus can truly change lives. So it is our hope and prayer that this service stirs up your affection for Christ and helps you to draw closer to Him. For more information, please visit hbchaslett.org.
Thankful he knows everything, doesn't he? Amen. Have Brother Wiggins come and preach to us tonight.
2 Corinthians chapter 4. Appreciate Pastor singing that song. I love that song. I'm glad he forgives us, don't you? And, well, a couple of us need forgiveness, so that's always good. Kind of judge your crowd by that first amen there. It's only going to get worse from here, so... I appreciate Pastor letting me preach. I know we pick at each other, but I really do appreciate him so much. And there's not a lot of pastors out there who let their associate pastor preach as much as I do, and so I'm very thankful for that. I don't want to squander that opportunity that I have. And we got a great church, and I thank God for that, and he's been good to us. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we've been dealing with the spirit of, and last week we studied the spirit of meekness. I didn't like that one. And tonight we're going to deal with the spirit of faith. And I ain't going to like that one. And and when you read through this verse, there's a lot of commentary out there. And I'll give you what some say. Some say that this is the capital S spirit of faith. I don't truly believe that. We don't see it nowhere else in the Bible. I believe it's the spirit of faith coming from Paul and from those who are going through troubles, just like it was in David. I'll share that with you in a little bit. But I just want to say that all of us have a spirit about us. Some of us are spirited, right? You ever met a spirited horse? That means they don't like to be ridden, right? I've been on a few of those in my life, didn't enjoy it, right? But I will say that God wants us to have the spirit of these things that we're preaching on, the spirit of meekness and the spirit of faith. And it should be something that's flowing out of us, something that others can see. And so tonight, look, if you will, verse 8. The story kind of starts off grim, and Paul's talking about all these things, but I love how he puts the positive with the negative. He says, we are troubled on every side. And that word troubled, by the way, look that up. It's an amazing word. I can't pronounce the Greek, but I can tell you what it means. It means to be hunted. Not that we're troubled on every side, like, you know, just things going around, but there's actually people hunting to kill Paul. They're chasing him down. They're in pursuit of Paul's life. But notice what he says. We're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not despair. That word perplexed simply means to be pulled in every direction. Hello, anybody feel that way tonight? Like you've just been like putty. Remember putty as a kid? You take it out of the thing and you start pulling it and getting it ready, of course, to make something out of. And notice what he says. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. By the way, the resurrected Christ lives in me. He should live in you if you're saved tonight, that the life also of Jesus might be manifest in our body. Do people see Jesus in you? Verse 11 says, for we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then... Notice what he's fixing to say. So then, death worketh in us, but life in you. In other words, Paul said, I'm pouring out my life to you. I'm willing to die so I can get this message out. Verse 13, here we go. Verse 13 says, We have the same spirit of faith. According as it is written, I believe, and we'll look at this reference here in a little bit, and therefore have I spoken, we also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise us up us also by Jesus, and shall present us unto with him. Verse 15, for all things are for your sakes, that the abundance of grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not. But through our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. I love what he says in verse 17 too. It says, for our light affliction. Hello, have you ever read all the stuff that Paul went through? And he said, this is just light affliction. That's nothing. By the way, in the scope of eternity, what we go through down here is nothing. In view of what our Savior went through, what we go through here is nothing, right? We think we get on 35 and it's backed up for 30 minutes. It's what a trial. What a trial I'm going through this morning, right? It's not really a trial. That's just they don't know how to build roads, you know? Or how, like Pastor said, everybody ought to have missiles on the front of their car. But notice what he says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen. By the way, that's the way we're supposed to live if we're going to have the spirit of faith. Verse 18 has to be how we live. Notice what he says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are what? Temporal. They're temporary. But the things which are not seen are eternal. And so tonight we'll deal with the spirit of faith after we pray. Father, we love you. Thank you for the day that you've given us. And Lord, just to open up your word, what an awesome thing we have tonight to open and to hear from you. I pray, God, that you'd hide me and, Lord, not let my voice be heard, but yours be heard. And Father, I just pray that you bless your word and God, that you get all the honor, all the glory for it. And Lord, we need this spirit of faith in our lives so bad and in our nation. Lord, we love you and ask that you help us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let me cover a few things. Number one, what is faith? Well, Hebrews 11:1, you know this verse, Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Notice what that verse said. It is the evidence of things not seen. It is exactly what verse 18 in our text said. And he said, the things that you're looking at are temporal, but the things that are not seen, those things are eternal. Now, where does faith come from? Well, Romans chapter 10, verse 17, you know this verse, but there it is. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You cannot have the amount of faith you need outside of reading and hearing preaching. It's impossible. You can't just wake up every day, live a natural life, and feed the old man and have faith. It's not going to work. It's just like you cannot get up every day of your life and drive your vehicle without stopping at the gas station. And we don't like stopping right now. Can I get a witness? Right? We look at it. If you're like me, I'm feeling it halfway up now because I hate to see that, you know, that money. You know? But what does faith, where does it come from? Faith cometh by hearing. But why do we need faith? Well, there's a few things underneath this. And why do we need faith? Number one, in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, you know this verse, we need it for salvation. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself is a gift of God. We need faith for salvation. That is the first step in the line of faith. In other words, you can't skip salvation and go around and have faith to build something for God. The starting blocks of faith starts at salvation. And so, number two, why do you need faith? Not only for salvation, but in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe, that's faith, that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We need faith in order not only to be saved, but faith, number two, to please God. I don't believe there's a person underneath the sound of my voice tonight that would say, I want to walk out these doors and I don't want to please God. You're here tonight because you want to please God. You're here tonight, and the only way you're going to please God is not by what you look like and the stance you have in society. It is by the faith that you have that you're going to please God. And I want to please God with everything I do. Listen, you got faith. When that offering comes, you're going to give by faith, right? When pastor comes in and says, look, we need somebody to teach that Sunday school class, you're going to teach it by faith. None of us are worthy of teaching. And when pastor gets up here and says, look, we need this project or whatever, you're going to have faith in order to give. Listen, tomorrow when you wake up, you need faith. Hello, you got kids? You need faith to raise them little things. And a lot of money. They're expensive. But you know what? We need faith in order to please God. Matter of fact, why do we need faith for salvation to please God? Number three, that's how we live. Romans chapter 1, verse 17 says, and he's just quoting the Old Testament, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith." That's not an option. If you're going to be a just person, you're going to have to live by faith. If you just want to be just a carnal person, then you don't need it. But if you're going to live the life that is pleasing to God, you got to live it by faith. We sing the song all the time. I'm living by faith in Jesus above. And most of the time, we don't even realize what we're singing. We're like, I need to get my credit card out and swipe it 25 times. Instead of trusting God, right? And we all have the woe is me sometimes, but we need to live by faith. And then let me give you the last thing underneath why we need faith, not only for salvation to please him and to live by, but I like this one. Romans chapter 5, verse 2, look at it if you will. It says, by whom also we have access, by what? What's the key that unlocks it? It's faith, isn't it? Notice what he says. By whom we have access by faith into what? This grace. Oh, I can look up here. Wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of glory of God. Brothers, thank you for getting that because I'm drowning. Notice how he says that we have access to God. Hello. You know what? I love going places. Last year we went up to Gatlinburg for Christmas and it snowed. Boy, it was beautiful up there, peaceful. Mountains, saw bear digging in the trash can. It was awesome. And tried to get Brody to get his tail, and he wouldn't do it. And, man, we had an exciting time, but when you get there, you just don't walk into the cabin. Right? There's an access code that you have to have in order to get in a cabin. And you go up there, and you punch that number. Good gravy. Hold on. Woo, man. I swallowed wrong or something. Or the Lord's telling me to hush. And I'm trying to get a little illustration out. So you got to have the access code in order to get in. You got to have access. But I want to read this to you. Eliot's commentary said this: the spirit of faith is not defiantly the Holy Spirit, but the human spirit in fellowship with the divine and therefore characterized by faith. He's saying that what he is talking about in these verses about the spirit of faith is that it is the attitude or the outlook that we have of faith. So he's saying that when the child of God lives the life of faith, that what happens is that you are identifying with the divine and it comes out of you as the spirit of faith. You ever go back to Play-Doh? Anybody play with Play-Doh when you was young? I used to love, you know, we had those little things, you put it in, you mash it in a little, it'd shoot out like hair or whatever it may be. But you got to put enough in there in order to get that effect. And most people don't have enough faith in their life for it to come out as their spirit. The spirit about you, who you are, who and what you are. But I want to tell you tonight, when you look at this verse, there is a person named Paul who went through so much, so many trials and so many tribulations. And can I say that when you're in those trials and when you're in that tribulation, you're being squeezed. And what's in you is going to come out. Hello, you want to find out if you've conquered cussing, hit your finger with a hammer. I'm just being honest with you. My wife knows I was a sailor before I got saved. I was on the USS Michael Wiggins. And I can hang with the best of them. I was raised with that. That's all I heard all my life. And my father used language and I hated it. When I got saved, I prayed God would help me. And he did help me. And I'm telling you, I'm not lying about this. I prayed and I said, God, if you're calling me in the ministry, you got to take that away. And it was a habit that I had. And I said, Lord, you have to take this away from me. And I promise you, when one day he took it away from me. And in that same day, hammer in hand, nail. This is before the days of nail guns. You had to do it manually. That was my name, was Manuel. Manuel. And I never will forget it. I hit my finger, and I said, glory to God. I said, wait a minute, what just came out of my mouth? But what was in me was going to come out. And listen, I got rid of that because I was putting in God. I was putting His Word in my life, and that was coming out. Listen, have you ever just met somebody who has a great spirit about them? But how about the spirit of faith? Go back to our text, if you will, and look a few things, and I'll give you a couple things, and I'll be done. Notice, if you will, Paul gives us some wording here. And by the way, when you study your Bible, look at wording. It's so important. Whether it's a pronoun or whether it's a verb or whatever it may be, study those words out. It's amazing what we can learn in Scripture just by studying these words and looking at them. Now, notice what he says in verse 13, if you will. He uses the first word, we. You know what that means? More than me. It means those people that he is writing to. Paul was not the only one. Notice what go back to what he says in verse 8. He didn't say, I are troubled. He says, we. He says, we are troubled. He says, notice now on every side, we are perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, but not destroyed, always buried about in the body of the dying. He says, verse 11, for we which live, he uses that word we. And when he gets down there, he says, we have the same spirit of faith. We have the same spirit of faith. We have, and by the way, we all have the same spirit. There's one spirit, by the way, and it lives in the believer. But I believe Paul is saying, look, when we're going through this distressing time, that we go through it with each other. You know what's important about church we learned through the C word? Last year. And this year, but... is that we needed each other. You know what I know it's a strong word, but I did. I hate it, and I know Pastor probably hated it more than I did. I hated being in this auditorium preaching without you. That was bad. Bad, I'm telling you. You got a camera in front of you and nobody's in here? Like, that was horrible. You know why? Because we need each other. I love coming to church and seeing people come into church, some of you, and I love seeing people come into church, and I'm going, you know what, man, these are my friends. This is my family. And listen, when I get discouraged, I don't go run out to the world and go, hey, would y'all help me? I'm going to come running to you guys because we need each other. Paul said, look, we are in this together. We are the church here tonight assembled together to edify each other and to encourage one another and say, listen, keep going, don't quit. Why? Because I guarantee you somebody's going through what you're going through, or maybe even worse. I think of the Wootons every time I think of this message. I even wrote their name down on this message. I said, man, what a picture of the spirit of faith in somebody who has cancer, terminal cancer, and we're just going to live our life. I mean, what a spirit of faith about them. And some of you the same way, you've been through some trials and tribulations and all of that. And listen, you got that spirit of faith. Listen, it's a we thing. We go in it with you. Can I give you better news? God, through the Lord Jesus Christ, goes through it with you also. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. That means when you go down into the valley of the shadow of death, God goes with you in the person of Jesus Christ. Paul said, we. There's a togetherness there with this spirit. But notice he also says in verse 13, and he's quoting back on Psalm 116:10, and I'll read that real quick. Psalms 116:10, we believe David wrote this. He said, I believe, therefore I have spoken. I was greatly afflicted. Do you think David went through any affliction? Oh, yeah, he did. Can you imagine what he went through just with his own family? The death and the rape of his own kid, and just how horrible of things David would have said. But here's what David said in the midst of all that, and Paul was quoting him. He said, I believe. Can I say, not only is it a we, but it's an I. You've got to have personal faith in Christ. I can't live off of a Miss Linda's faith. I can't live off of my mom's faith. I can't live off of grandma's faith. I have to have personal faith in Jesus Christ that He's going to see me through this. And then notice in verse 14 what he says here. He says, knowing, notice that he. Now who's the he? Well, let's read the verse. It tells us. Which raised up the Lord Jesus. Now there's only one person who raised up the Lord Jesus. And that was God. Verse 14 is very specific. He says, "What raised him up will also, also by Jesus shall present us with you." Paul says, look, there is a we're in this together, but there's also an I. Every man must bear his own burden also, right? That we got to have personal faith in Jesus Christ. But he says, he will go with you. The Lord Jesus will go with you and he will be with you. You say, well, I just don't know about that, but I'm telling you, he will. He'll be there with you. Let me give you three things tonight about the spirit of faith that we see here in this scripture. And that we just see in general. Number one, what is it about the spirit of faith? Number one, it composes you in the midst of trials. When you have that spirit of faith, when you have faith in your life that's oozing out of your life that others are seeing, listen, it composes you. What do you mean by that? We could use another word. It gives you a cool head, right? It composes you. I think of so many things in my life, and I think of people who have faced things that I've been there with, and boy, they've just been composed. And you think, wow, how are they handling this? It's because they have faith in their life, and that faith is being seen through the spirit of them, that it is oozing out of their life. Listen, moms and dads, your kids feed off of you. If you go cuckoo, now we're going to preach on the spirit of faith. The last one is the spirit of fear. Sorry, the spirit of fear. And that's down the road a few times. But I want to tell you this, is that our kids and our family, our neighbors are watching us. You know what? There is nothing like seeing people go through a tough trial and they stay composed through it all. I'm not saying they didn't break down and cry and all this, but there was an ever moment where they lost faith. And they just hung in there, and they just stayed in there with God and just kept going and kept going and kept going. You say, is there anybody in the Bible that believe that's a good example of that? Let me give you one. Acts chapter 6, verse 8. And Stephen, full of faith. Notice what it says, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among them. Matter of fact, a few verses before that, it said they sought out men who were full of faith. They found Stephen, and you know what? We didn't know how much faith Stephen had until he was pressed. You read the end of chapter 7 there, you'll see, or into chapter 7, you'll see something. In verses 54 through 60, you'll see where they took Stephen and they stoned him to death. And at the last verse, Stephen said, matter of fact, go over there and look with me. I want to read this. I don't want to miss it. Acts chapter 7. I know we've been making it lazy for you, putting it up there on the old screen, the old devil screen. Acts chapter 7, verse, just look at verse, Acts chapter 7. Boy, he saw Jesus standing there on the right hand. What a great story. He cried with a loud voice and ran according to Cast City. It says in verse 59, and they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord, receive my, he called upon the Lord, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, all of you, I hope you die. Nope, that's not what he said. Here's when he got squeezed. Guess what came out? Kindness and faith. He said, Lord, lay not this to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. I love that. He didn't die. They rocked him to sleep. Get it? I'm going to tell you, man, when Stephen was squeezed, God came out of him. Yeah, by faith, he asked God, hey, will you forgive them? You know who else did that? Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Folks, I'm going to be honest with you. You arrest me for something that I didn't do and you just try to stone me to death, I'm going to pray a prayer for you. Just like I pray for those victims out there on 35 that get in front of me. They drive in that left-hand lane, 35 mile an hour. They think 35 means 35 mile an hour. But I'm telling you, when Stephen was squeezed, that faith just came out, didn't it? Man, I want that in my life. He was composed in the midst of a trial. Let me give you number two. Not only, what is it about the spirit of faith? Well, it composes you in the midst of the trial. Number two, it calms those around you in the midst of the trial. It calms those around you. In verses 15 and 16, we kind of see that he's talking about the grace and all this that was given. But listen, You know what people need to see? They need to see when you go through those storms and when our children see us go through those storms and they see us composed, guess what? It's going to calm them. But you know what also it's going to do to our children? When they go through that, guess what? They're going to have faith. You need an illustration for that one? Okay, thank you. Isaac, get up, son. We're going somewhere. Where are we going, Dad? Isaac's not a teenager. He's not a little child. He's a man, basically. He said, Isaac, get the wood, sacrifice. We're going up. Lord, show us. Abraham rose up early in the morning, took Isaac, and shorten the story. You know the story. Takes him up on top of Mount Moriah. Isaac never fought him one time. He lay down on the altar as a sacrifice. You know what I'm thinking? I'm just hypothetically speaking here. Abraham's about to raise that knife up. I guarantee you, Isaac could have took him. Hello? That'd be like me trying to kill Brody. I believe he could take me if there again, right? But you know what? I believe he had seen his father having faith from day one. And he said, Dad, I hope you know what you're doing. Dad, I'm trusting you. Dad, you've never been wrong before. But could you imagine Isaac sitting there and that knife raising up? And he's like, well, my dad's got faith. We know this because of Hebrews, that he had faith even if he killed Isaac, that he'd raise him up again. I can't help but believe that Isaac thought, well, if he kills me, I'm going to get raised up again. You know why? Because he stayed calm because Daddy was composed. Listen, tonight, we need to remember people are watching us. Your neighbors are watching you. Your faith is never seen in good days. Your faith is always seen in trial days. They need a leader of faith. They need to see dads and husbands. You need to be the spiritual leader of the home. They need to see you have faith and stay calm underneath pressure. I never forget, this was a couple years ago, Brody's birthday. I was going to take him to eat somewhere, and we were coming up 35. My stories always end up on 35. And I come up on 35, I think I'd taken you out of school, probably, and we're going to eat his birthday lunch and just have a good day together, father, son, manly time, only two men in the house other than the dog. And we're driving down 35 and see people just kind of go, phew, and all of a sudden, there was a horrible wreck right in front of us. I, of course, pulled over and had some medical supplies with me and got up to the car, and there was people trying to do stuff that didn't know nothing. And there was two elderly people that rear-ended another car, and it was pretty bad. Got there, and the lady, you know, she had an open fracture. The man's ankle was broken so bad that his bones were just sticking to the... I mean, it was a bad scene, and I'm trying to... And I want to say this. I always pick on Brody, but I'm going to brag on him. I said, son, I need you to hold my bag, and I need to get some things done. The lady was bleeding. She was in shock, and just a lot of things going on. And, well, he was just so calm. He was. I was like, man, I got me. Shelby's usually my helper when it comes to medical stuff, but this time Brody was there. Man, he was just calm as a cucumber. Matter of fact, the lady came to me. She said, y'all were amazing. She said, y'all were like Superman or Batman and Robin or something. I forgot what she told me. And, you know, it's just one of those scenes. It was chaotic. There was a lot of people trying to do things, and the people were trapped in the car. We were, anyway, some firefighters got there. It took about 30 minutes for ambulance to get there, so we had a lot to cover. But, man, you know what? But he fed off of me. If Daddy would have been like, oh, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. What are we going to do? Brody would have been like, I don't know what to do either. I don't know. He's a pretty calm kid. Brody's low-key. Brody's cool. Me and Shep, we get excited. Brody, he's always just even keel. But you know what? It's the same way in life. If they see Daddy going through a trial and breaking down, you know what's going to happen to my children? They're going to be the same way. I want my children to face trials with calm because they have faith in God. I want them to be calm through this. And listen, I know there's going to be some emotional thing. There's going to be days that are not going to be the greatest days of our life. But listen, we need to pass that faith on to them. Why? We need to let it ooze out of us and go to others. Listen, there's some of you in this room I look up to so great as founders of, or not the fathers of faith. And man, I think of many of you that have gone through things, and I'm going, man, how could I go through that? Well, I'll go through it just like they did with faith, trusting in God. Let me give you the last thing tonight. We see the last thing. Not only what is it about the Spirit that it composes you when you're in the midst of a trial, it calms those around you when you're in the midst of a trial, and then number three, it conveys our confidence in God in the midst of the trial. It conveys our confidence in God. Let me read 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, you know this verse also. It says, "For the which cause I also suffer these things." As a matter of fact, he's talking about suffering again here to Timothy. He says, "Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed." I think there's a song we sing about that. "I know whom I have believed and persuaded that he is able to keep that which I committed against that day." Paul said, "Timothy, I'm going to tell you, you're going to go through a time of affliction. You're going to go through a time of trial. But listen, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that against the day." Listen, I believe that whatever happens in my life, God is in control and I'm just going to trust him. Listen, we can freak out and go cuckoo, but listen, it's not going to do anybody any good. When you exhibit the spirit of faith, you are telling people, "I got confidence in God." Listen, I've seen people go through trials and tribulations and all that, and boy, you just look at them and you go, "That can't be them doing that. That has to be an almighty God in them doing that." The Spirit of God can work in our life because God is able. We must put our faith in God and for all things, and let the Spirit of faith ooze out of our life. I think so many times of people that I know who have gone through great trials, and you know, I've seen people lose their wives and husbands and children, and especially last year, I know people have lost a lot of people, a lot of loved ones. But I want to say this, that doesn't change God. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. And can I tell you that he wants you to trust him? That's it. He wants you to trust him. Just like when you're going to a scary place and you got your kids with you. I love to feel that little hand come up in mine when they were small. Now it's just creepy. Get your hand off me. And you go on your own. You're a big boy now, right? And that's just Danya. You know, but you go in those scary places. I've got to tell a story on my wife before I end, because I haven't told one on her in a while. Because this reminds me, 2 years ago we went to Honduras. I don't like heights. I think it's of the devil. Heights are of the devil. Well, They're all picking on me. "Hey, you got to go ziplining. Got to go ziplining. I don't want to go ziplining." And finally looked at the zip line. I was like, "Well, the first one is only like 12 feet off the ground. I got that." I just didn't realize, but I probably did, but I tried to get it out of my mind that the last one goes over one of the tallest waterfalls in Honduras, over the top of it. So what happens with me, I usually just get mad enough that I just do stuff, right? And I did. I put on the harness. I'm going, "Okay, we're going. Let's get up there." I'm so mad at her. I'm boiling. She tricks me all the time. She's tricked me before in the roller coasters, and she tricked me on our last vacation. I'm going through some tightrope walking stuff. I don't know how I get tricked into this stuff. You'd think I'd learn after a while. And I'm out there, and here we go across that first zip line. I'm just second one, and then third one, and the fourth one. And I'm looking over the waterfall. It's 17 million miles to the bottom of that thing. You know what? I wanted to hold her hand. The greatest time on that whole trip was when my feet hit that other side and the guy said, "You're done. Good, I'm taking this harness off. I'm done." But you know what? I look back on it and go, "I actually kind of liked it. Would I do it again? Probably not. But I enjoyed it." You know? Because you know why? I don't trust those ropes. Those cables. I know over in Honduras they don't ever look at them things. They don't care about us. Even here, probably. I don't know. And I start calculating my weight sometimes. Go, "Oh." Everybody else, when they went across there, it's like that. When I went across there, it's like, you know, like an inverted rainbow. I'm trying to kick to keep going, you know. Everybody else is going across there 60 mile an hour, and here I am. Zzz, zzz. You're doing this thing, just trying to keep going. I'm thinking, "Lord, this thing breaks." But I want to tell you, when you're in the hands of God, no matter where you're at, you can trust him. I'm telling you, he's got you. He's got you. Just put your faith in him. You may not put it in that cable going across that waterfall, but listen, I put my faith in God anytime, no matter what I'm facing, because he's got me. and he's never going to let me fall. Pastor says this all the time, and I hope it doesn't just become white noise to us, but God always has his hand on the thermostat. He knows just exactly what we can handle and what we can't. And the reason that he turns it hot sometimes in our life is to put our faith in action. How about your spirit of faith tonight? People around you say, man, they got a spirit of faith about them. Boy, he's got a spirit of faith. She's got a spirit of faith about her. And you know what? Our children need to learn faith from us. They need to learn that we got to trust God. Not everything's just going to be the nice rosy and pretty day. Sometimes the lightning and the hail and the storms come in our life, and that's when we have to trust him. How's your spirit of faith tonight? Let's stand, heads bowed, eyes closed. Father, we love you. Thank you for the night, God, that you've given us. And Lord, I certainly needed this tonight. Lord, in the times that I don't trust you and, Lord, I don't believe you, Lord, forgive me for that. Lord, help me to have greater faith than ever before that, Lord, it would ooze out of my life. And, Lord, I'd have that spirit about me of faith. And, Lord, those around me that would see it. And, Lord, it would calm them as I'm composed. And, Lord, that I'm showing people that I have confidence in you, not in man, not in things of this world, but in you. Lord, I pray you bless your folks tonight. I pray that you speak their hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. As Pastor comes.
On behalf of our church and staff, thank you for listening to this sermon. For more sermons and more information about our church, please visit hbchazlett.org.